We're doing Mishnah. We're up to what's called the 26th chapter, the 7th Pasuk. And we'll read it with a traditional tune. Shlomo HaMelech says, Dalyu Shokaim Mi Piseach. Just as when a person is a Piseach, a person is crippled, and then Dalyu, his legs are lifted. When a person is crippled, so his legs are held high in a wheelchair or whatever system they had in those days. So too, umashal b'fi chesidim, and that's the way when a fool tries to say an allegory, he says a mashal, so it doesn't come out right. It's like the feet, that their height is not a benefit. Their height is actually because the person is a cripple. That's why his feet are not down on the ground properly. So too, when the fool tries to say an allegory, it goes all wrong. Ordinarily, we stand on our feet, and our feet are obviously beneath us. But when a person is crippled, so that disability causes his feet to seem higher than himself. So too, when the fool tries to say an allegory, tries to sound smart, so then what everyone hears is how the allegory is higher than the fool himself. He might quote something intelligent, but it's beyond him. It's not him. It's not his intelligence as being represented. So this is sometimes we're tempted to say things that are beyond what we understand. We should try to stick to what we do understand. But Chavav Zayin, the 7th Pasuk, what they call the 26th chapter. Kitzror even b'mar geima, ken noten lichsil kavod. Just as when you put a stone in a slingshot, mar geima is a tool that's used to throw. Rogem is to throw stones. Mar geima is a tool to throw stones. So kitzror even b'margemat, just as the envelopment of a stone by the slingshot is not something that lasts. You wrap it in the slingshot for a split second until you let go and it flies out. So it's not that the slingshot is there to wrap the stone. Kitzror even b'margemat, like the envelopment of the stone by the slingshot, which is very, very temporary and fleeting. Ken noten lichsil kavod. That's what it's like to give a fool honor. You've given him something that's about to shoot out. Sometimes you think you're helping him, you're not. He's going to lose it right away. You give him honor, it won't last. So Chazal compare it to the stone in the slingshot. That's not going to stay there very long. So sometimes it's tempting to try and honor someone beyond what they deserve, and it won't work. Chazal say he'll ultimately make a fool of himself. It won't work trying to honor him beyond that. So that's pshat in the pasuk. Chazal say, this is talking about someone who tries to teach Torah to a student that's an inappropriate person. So it's like throwing a stone to the idol called Marculis. Chazal said, it's not harmless. You're giving him the most valuable thing in the world when you're giving him Torah. And if he's a problematic human being, then you're giving him something problematic. It's not the appropriate way to teach. Make sure the students are appropriate people. Pasuk tet. Choach ala v'yad shikoho. Choach is a type of a thorn bush. So when a person is drunk, so then he's capable of trying to grab a choach, which isn't even a rose. It's just a thorn tree. And then he harms himself, he harms others, Umashal befi chisilim. The same is true when a fool tries to say an allegory so he could hurt himself and he could hurt others. That's, again, it's a tool which is harmful. It's not a good idea for him to have it. Okay, what's an example of an allegory that's harmful to the fool and harmful to himself? Rav mecholel chol v'socher kesil v'socher overim. Rav mecholel kol. There are multiple interpretations to this pasuk. We'll go with one and then we'll come back and see others. The Ribbono Shel Olam, Rav, the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is most awesome, Mecholel Kol, he created everything. V'socher kesil v'socher overim. And he gives wages to the fool, and he gives wages to the people who are passing. The Ribbono Shel Olam, who created everyone, so he gives everyone food. You don't have to work hard, you don't have to worry about Parnassah. Don't worry about it. He created everything. He'll take care of everyone. So this is an example of a mashal that the fool hurts himself and he hurts others. Hashem created a world where you do have to try to make it work. Otherwise, you have no guarantee it's going to work. Even when you try, you have no guarantee it's going to work. So the fool says, why do I need an education? Why do you have to work so hard? It's all in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't worry. Hashem takes care of everyone. He created everyone. What do you mean? He gave you the tools. He gave you the responsibility. Prepare yourself so you could. So this pshat is Rashi's pshat. That this pasuk is a continuation of what we said in the previous pasuk, that the mashal, the allegory in the hands of the fool, is harmful to himself and harmful to others. Yes?
So Hashem is not our provider?
He provides, but he gave us the responsibility to do our end of it. V'chol asher hu oseh, Hashem atzdech biyado. Whatever man attempts, that's when Hashem gives him success. But man has to play the role. He has to get an education. He has to try and understand. He has to try and get a good job. Man is given the responsibility to do his end of the deal. So that's Rashi's pshat. There's another pshat that the word Rav isn't the way we interpreted it to mean the great one, the Ribbono Shel Olam, but rather Rav is from the word Riv. He who is quarrelsome, Rav, one who fights, Mecholel, from the word Chalal, not like Rashi had learned that lecholel is to create or to bring into fruition, but rather mecholel from the word chalal, kills. Rav, a person who is quarrelsome, mecholel, he causes many corpses, and no one can come near a quarrelsome person. Rav mecholel kol, anyone around a quarrelsome person finds himself hurt by him. V'socher kisilim, v'socher overim, but a person who is quarrelsome will hire fools, will hire people who are overim, who are in transgression of the Torah, because he knows that they will partner with him in his endeavors. So that interpretation is, the key over here is the word Rav. Where Rashi learned the word Rav is a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is above, who is great above everything. And this interpretation of the Metzuda interprets the word Rav from the root Riv. Rav, he who is quarrelsome, mecholel kol, causes all around him to be corpses. V'socher kesil v'socher overim, and he'll hire the fool, he'll hire those who are in transgression, because he knows they will partner with him in his ways. Kichelev shav al keyo, just as a dog comes back to eat that which he regurgitated, a dog will come back and revisit their vomit. Kain, I missed the pasuk. Kisil shone beivalto. So the dog doesn't understand that the reason he regurgitated the food was because there was something wrong with it. So he shouldn't re-eat it. By the same token, the fool will repeat his mistakes. When he does something stupid and it causes him to fall, so he tries the same stupid thing a second time. Kisil shone beivalto. The fool repeats his foolishness. Ra'ita, when you see ish chacham be'inav, a person who considers himself smart, so then if a person considers himself smart, that's the most dangerous thing, if he isn't smart. Because tikva lichsil mimenu, the fool has more hope than him. Because when a person considers himself smart, he's not so interested in hearing what other people have to say. Because why should I listen to them? I know everything. But the fool, if he at least understands he's a fool, so he has potential. So that's why Shlomo HaMelech says, Ra'ita, when you see ish chacham be'inav, a person who considers himself smart, meaning in his own eyes he is smart, in his own eyes alone he is smart, meaning no one else thinks he's smart, but he thinks he's smart, so then tikva lichsil mimenu, the fool has more hope than him. Because the fool might learn one day, but a person who considers himself smart, well, he's probably not going to learn. Amaratzel shachal badarech. When a person is lazy, so he imagines there are all kinds of dangers outside. The lazy person says, how could I go outside? You know, dangerous, there are lions outside. Shachal is one type of, one term for lion. There are 10 names to the lion. One of them is shachal. So, in Maseches Avost Rabbi Nassan, if I'm not mistaken, towards the end.
Is there a reason why lions are so important? Are lions important to us?
Yeah, in the beginning of some shas, you have the shar on Daf Aleph, and it has two lions sitting up on the...
The lion represents royalty. The lion represents an animal that is fierce, that doesn't fear other animals.
Quintessential king?
So it seems like, but more than that, I don't know. I mean, a lion can represent many different aspects.
Because usually in the language, if there, the more words there are for a thing, like the more specific there are...
Death and the grave also have 10 names, and happiness also has 10 names, and prophecy also has 10 names.
Okay.
Moshe Rabbeinu has many names. Yisro has many names. Lehavdil, Elfaf Evdolot, their Bon Shalom has many names.
Many lions have many names.
I don't know. So the lazy person says, there are lions outside on the streets. Ari ben alchovot, there are lions between the streets. Hadelet tisov al tzirah, the door turns on its hinge. Ve'atzel al mitato, so the door turns again and again. People come in, people go out, but the lazy person just rolls over in bed. He's not one of the people going in or going out. Now, this is a very, very important concept, because what Shlomo HaMelech is really telling us is that when a person conjures up reasons not to do something, very often the reasons to him will seem viable. But deep down inside, the real reason, says Shlomo HaMelech, is laziness. And there are many times that a person makes excuses for himself, and the real reason is laziness. How do we overcome laziness? Well, number one, we have to ask ourselves, what do we really want? If a person asks that question, then they have to ask themselves the next question. Well, if that's what I want, what am I doing about getting there? How do I get there? What would I do if? What are the next steps I have to take in order to get there? How many times does a person wake up and he says, oh, I have so much to do. I can't believe I have so much to do today. Oh boy, today's overwhelming. And then he goes back to sleep for another 2 hours. Well, that's that the fears that a person conjures up in his mind. I'm going to have to stand online. I'm going to go out in that sweltering heat. Who knows if I'm even going to succeed? And it's difficult to do all the things I have to do today. Well, that's what Shlomo HaMelech says. With all those thoughts and concerns and excuses, the door turns and a lazy person keeps turning in bed and he does not get out. But if a person can point a finger and say, no, I'm just being lazy, I'm going to go and deal, so then a person might actually start accomplishing. Taman atzel yado batzalachat nila lachshiva el piv. Sometimes the lazy person will put his hand in the plate. And so he can be right there, ready to take food, but he doesn't bring it back to his mouth. He hid his hand in the plate, and he doesn't bother bringing it to his mouth. One understanding here is that the lazy person will take a hot plate with hot food and he'll hold it in his hands all the time to warm up his hands. But he's never going to consume the food because he's too busy warming his hands, which is another deep insight into our perpetual laziness. What laziness means is I want what is most comfortable in the short term. So it could be that if I drank the hot soup, my whole body would be warmer. But right now my hands are cold, so I'm going to hold the hot soup in my hands, and I'm never going to eat it, and the soup will go cold, and instead of heating up the whole body, I will remain with cold hands. The cold hands were warm for a few minutes. So very often, laziness is short-term comfort. My grandfather once told me that he was in yeshiva and he was next to the mashgiach. And they were talking to the mashgiach and then they noticed the mashgiach watching someone. And the person was sitting in his chair and the window was open next to him and he wanted the window closed. So he kept reaching with his leg to try and knock the window closed. And he tries again and again and again and he keeps missing. And he can't reach, and he wiggles in his chair, and he tries a fourth time and a fifth time. And the Mashgiach said, you see how hard a person works when they don't want to work? If a person would just get up out of the seat and close the window, then they'd close the window. But it's short-term comfort. Let me stay in my seat and try with my leg. Ah, that didn't work. Let me try again. So when a person's lazy, what they're doing is they're saying, right now, this second, it's more comfortable for me to do this. It could be that in 5 seconds I'll pay the price. And that's very often the case. Very often we're tempted, should I go check if that thing is burning on the fire? I don't want to get up. Should I go check if it's time for me to go catch the bus? I don't want to go right now. For that 1 minute we can miss a bus and then stand at the bus stop another half hour in the sweltering heat. But that minute I didn't feel like going up and checking. Maybe I should go outside a minute earlier. That laziness will sometimes cost us long term. Shlomo HaMelech gives us an example of that. Taman atzel yado batzalachat. The lazy person is busy eating. And so he eats the soup and then he wipes off the bottom of the bowl. And by the time he finishes eating, he says, oh, I'm so tired. I can't go out to work right now. So he reaches a point where he's too tired to pick up his hand and finish eating. But again, laziness causes us to be more tired. When a person tries to be productive and acts as though they're productive, so that the acting with energy causes us to have energy. It's cyclical. When our gait is the gait of a productive person, then our mode of thinking, our mode of action, our mode of being is a mode of productivity. And so a person has to try and get into that mode. Sometimes if a person's running late, it would be good to start their day and eat breakfast an hour later. instead of saying, let me eat breakfast and I'll get my day started. No, you shouldn't start your day without breakfast. Yeah, I know you shouldn't start your day without breakfast. But I know you also have to start your day. If you're running late, it might be a bad idea to delay and sit down for a nice big breakfast. Maybe get your day started, and at some point you'll find where you could take a 5-minute break and have some breakfast. Chacham atzel be'enav. A lazy person thinks he's smart. He himself thinks that he is smart. Mishivaha mishivetam. More than the 7 advisors of the king. A person who's lazy has a certain type of wisdom, because they will always figure out an excuse why they shouldn't do what they're being asked to do. And so that's also a type of wisdom, but it's not a positive wisdom.
It's like they say being wise.
These are the psukim where Shlomo HaMelech warns us about laziness. Number one, person thinks of all kinds of reasons why it's dangerous. Number two, person stays in bed. The rest of the world is being productive and he's rolling each side in bed. Number three, he's worried about his short-term pleasure. Let me hold that hot cup of soup. And then he doesn't bother drinking it, and only his hands get warm for short term. And that exemplifies the idea of laziness. And finally, the fourth point is that the lazy person finds himself to be very smart. And he's always going to have good reasons and good excuses why he's okay, even though he's really being lazy. Tov. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Machzik beozneicha halev over mitaber al riv lolo. When a person is over, he's passing by, and he is mitaber, he gets himself involved. Al riv lolo, with a fight that really doesn't involve him. So then he is like machzik bozne chalev. He is like someone who walks by a dangerous dog, and the dog isn't interested in him, but he grabs the dog by his ear, and then the dog bites him. So what'd you grab the dog by the ear for? If a person's walking by a fight and it has nothing to do with him, why should he get involved? If he's getting involved, so then sometimes he's causing himself problems. Now, people don't think about this. It's very common that people don't think about this. People will be walking by in the street and there's a fight going on, and they think they have to get involved. You don't know who's right, and if you get involved, you could just get beaten. But this is also true in politics. There are many times that people think they should take a stance, and they're getting involved in a fight which really is not their fight. And by getting involved, they're acquiring an enemy, whereas if they'd be quiet and let things play themselves out, they wouldn't have an enemy. So this can be true in shul politics, in community politics, in government politics. Sometimes getting involved in the fight is just winning an enemy. It's like grabbing the dog by its ears. Doesn't mean a person shouldn't stand up for things they believe in. There are times where you have to stand up. But there are times where you accomplish nothing other than acquiring an enemy. Person has to factor that out. Kemit lalea hayore zikim chitzim v'mavet. One shot in the pasuk is kemit lalea, like someone who wears himself out. Hayore zikim chitzim v'mavet, the person who sends, who shoots fire, and really he's shooting death. Ken ish rima et reyehu, that's what a person who swindles his friend is like. Ve'amar halo mesachek ani, and then he says, I was just joking. No, you weren't. You swindled him. You tricked him. And so Shlomo HaMelech is saying, sometimes people say, I was just joking. But their just joking was really tricking someone into something which could be killing them. It could be destroying their livelihood. So a person has to be careful what they say. That's one pshat. Another pshat is kimit lalea. Like a person who tires himself out. Hayore. He's tiring himself out shooting fire that that puts itself out like sparks. But even so, he's working hard throwing the sparks. And why is he practicing throwing the sparks? Because ultimately he intends to throw chitzim. He intends to throw arrows, v'mavet, and death. Kain ish, so too is a person, rima et rehehu, who swindles his friend, and when his friend notices it, he says, I was just joking. And really, the guy says, I was planning on telling you. You should be prepared, says Shlomo HaMelech, be wary of him, because he's just waiting for the opportunity that you won't catch him, and then he won't tell you. Sometimes a person says, sure, I was going to tell you. Then why didn't you tell me earlier? So this comes up in life. Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us that when a person proves himself to be not trustworthy, be careful, because they've proven something. Okay. What did we learn today? We learned about the lazy person. We learned about a person who considers himself smart, that then they don't stand the chance of ever becoming smart. We learned about a person who gets involved in a fight that has nothing to do with him, that they're just bringing trouble upon themselves, like pulling a dog by its ears. We learned about how people will sometimes say, I was just joking, when in fact they endanger the other person, and a person shouldn't buy into what they say, I was just joking. And we learned about a person who will sometimes say, I was going to tell you, but you should realize that that only means that when he was caught, he was going to tell you. And when he'll have an opportunity to do something that could harm you and he won't be caught, then he won't tell you. And this is sometimes people have to pay attention to loyalty. I have a friend who was sick and they didn't know if he would recover from his illness. So his partner was running the business on a one-man show. One of the two CEOs was gone, and they didn't know if he was making it back to work. Well, when he was gone, so the workers went on strike and asked for a raise. They sensed that one CEO working without the other, and not knowing if the other one was returning, if he would make it back out of the hospital, they sensed it was a moment of weakness for the company, and so they went on strike. So the second CEO came back, and when he came back, he bowed his time, but in the course of the following 3 months, he fired all the staff. He said, if they could take advantage of the time I was sick to try and to go on strike and try to get better wages, because they sensed that the one CEO functioning alone couldn't stand up to a whole staff that was suddenly mutinous under him, what they've just proven to us is that they have zero loyalty to the company. They're going to wait till the company is at its weak point, and then they're going to try to exploit the company. Well, if the workers have no loyalty, then we should try to find workers that do have loyalty. And that's one of the warnings that Machiavelli tells the prince in the book The Prince. He tells him, be very careful, because if you have people under your dominion who don't have loyalty to you, then those people will wait for the moment to exploit you. Shlomo HaMelech says, when a person tells you, I was just joking, but he did something that could have endangered you, then don't take it lightly. That means you have a dangerous situation here. It's just a matter of time till he's going to find an opportunity that you're not looking, that you won't catch him. This is true also with children. Sometimes children do something that's dangerous, and then say, I was just joking. And you have to make sure that they don't do it again, because sometimes you can stop them before it gets dangerous. There was a parent who the kids would play. The older brother would hold the younger brother's head under the water in the bathtub. Well, the rest is an unfortunate history. The parent didn't put an end to the game, and the rest is an unfortunate history. The younger sibling is brain damaged for life. The older sibling always said, I was joking. Of course I let him out of the water. Yeah, it's very good. But all it takes is once where, okay, whether he meant to joke or he didn't mean to joke, I'm sure he didn't mean to make his brother brain damaged. Shlomo Amelech is saying that sometimes when a person says, I'm only joking, you have to see the intrinsic danger in that joke. Don't accept that answer. Pay attention to what can happen when you're not there to stop the person.